This morning we're going to be doing things a little bit different. I say that a lot, I think, anymore, where different really isn't different. So hopefully that's true. Today, I hope today isn't so different, that today is something that feels good. But we're gonna be spending some time in prayer this morning. We're going to let the Spirit speak for the message this morning. And if you were here back in November, you might remember that it was November, right? Did I get that right, or is it October? We did the worship, all worship. November. So in November, we did an all worship service where it was all music. And several somebodies suggested, wouldn't it be interesting if you did that but with prayer instead? And that's a good idea. So we're going to do it. We're going to be following a format this morning. We're going to be mixing some music and some worship, and there's going to be opportunity for you to participate in different ways. But we're going to be following a format because sometimes you just kind of need a little bit of structure. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be praying through Acts, A-C-T-S. We can go ahead and bring that up. And each one of these stands for something. It's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so we'll be praying in these moments, and we'll have some songs in between. But what we're saying is we're going to be praying with this in mind. And I want to go through each one of these just very briefly, and then there's a different person who's going to be leading each one of these. We're giving you the opportunity to pray. It's not like one person's just going to pray this. They're just facilitating. But with adoration, what we want to do is we want to come before our God. We want to come before our holy God and adore Him for who He is. It's not about what He's done or what He's doing, but just solely and only who He is. And I want to share with you real quick here from Isaiah chapter 6. This is one of my favorite throne moments here. Isaiah, the great prophet, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne." Now, listen to what he sees here. "High and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." That is to say that his holiness filled the temple. I don't know how big you imagine the temple of God to be. I don't think it was a small room. And for this to fill the temple. "And above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two covered his face, and with two covered his feet." The idea that, you know, that they can't even look upon this holiness that is happening here. "And with two, they flew. And they called to one another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke." And this is Isaiah's response. And I would ask you, what would be your response if you were to enter into this throne room? If you found yourself in this place? Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And it's not God's desire that he would bring Isaiah just so Isaiah would fall and realize how unworthy he is in front of this God. And so in verse 6 it says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" And the very next passage talks about the Lord in unison as Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. Who will go for us? Who will carry this message? Who will share with the people the holiness of who this God is and what the response should be? In Isaiah, without hesitation, "Send me." Last week I talked about what it means to be committed. If we are to be a committed church to Christ, and if we're to be a committed church to the work of His Spirit in this community, and we want them to see the Father in all that we do, if we don't bathe that in prayer, we're Isaiah, we're lost. And so that's what this morning is going to be. And I don't want you to immediately have this this idea that this time of prayer, we're just gonna have our heads bowed the whole entire time, or what if I fall asleep? I don't know if you've ever done that. Just, you're in good company. The disciples did it, with Jesus. In fact, we're coming up on that passage in John real soon here, looking at the high priestly prayer and the prayer in the garden. Those guys couldn't stay awake for an hour. We're going to give you some opportunity to be up and down and interaction. We're going to come and we're going to adore that God that sits upon this throne high and lifted up. We're going to take a time to come into confession. And that's a scary word for some people. But the Lord says he wants you to bring it to Him. He wants you to confess it even amongst each other, that we might live holy lives. And so we're going to have a time of confession, a time of thanksgiving. And this time of thanksgiving is simply a time that we can thank God for what He is doing and what He has done. It's not a time, keep in mind, none of this is about us. It's all about Him. It's not our story. It's His story that we get to be a part of. And so thanksgiving is an opportunity to truly thank Him for what it is that has been given to us. And there is no measure of small and large to be thankful for. It's the living God. I mean, think about Isaiah again. It would have been very easy for him to be dispatched in the throne room. That wasn't God's plan. He asked us to come, and we give thanksgiving. Then supplication, and that's kind of a big word there. It just simply means to supply. It's asking the Lord. This is the time. And let's be honest, let's be frank. Most of the time when we come to prayer, that's where we start. And I'm not saying the Lord doesn't want us to ask. He does. He desires us to ask. But we want to spend some time really focusing on Him before we get to us. Because I believe that anytime we pray for whatever it is that the need that you have, the need that we might have, we need to be seeking out His will. It's His will be done. And sometimes the need that we think we have, there's something part of that picture we haven't got yet, and the Lord does have. And so by spending a time of adoring Him, spending a time to make sure that if there be any stumbling block in the midst, that we can get rid of that, spending a time to be thankful for the fact that we serve a God that desires these things in our lives, but then and only then, we ask you to do just as Jesus commands us to do, bring these needs before the Father. And that you would ask Him to supply in that way. And I would even say that if today maybe it's not a physical need, maybe it's a spiritual need, maybe it's a health need, then that's the time. And bring it before an almighty God. And so I'm gonna pray. The worship team is going to get us focused on what it means to adore God, and then one of our deacons is going to come and lead you through this portion. So Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Father, we ask that this morning would be a morning, Lord, that you would bring about us just as you did with Isaiah, that Lord, that you would bring us to your throne in a way, Lord, that perhaps we have never been. Father, that we Lord, that we would sit and we would bow and we would stand and we would just simply adore who you are. Father, that you created the universe, you hold the universe in the palm of your hand, and yet you desire your children to crawl into your lap. Father, let us do that in great reverence, in great fear, but Lord, in great love. Lord, may you be blessed in this time. Amen.
Would you stand with me, please?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see
God. How great seated.
Is that on?
It is on. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mark Shelsky, and I joined the Deacon Board this year. So what I'd like to do is I would like you, I'm going to do adoration, and what I'd like you to do is to bow your head, and I'm going to read a portion out of Revelations, and I would like you to meditate upon that as I read that. And before I do that, I want to pray for us. Father God, I just thank you for this day, and Lord, I just thank you for who you are, and right now I ask you that you would send your Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and be in our presence. I ask that you would infiltrate our minds and our hearts upon who God is, and I pray that you would just unleash yourself upon our hearts and our souls, and you would convict us, and you would just, right now, that you would just let us sense who God is and know who God is as we read your word. In Christ's name. So I'd like you to just keep your heads bowed, and as I read this, and then I want to pray again, and then I believe there's people who have mics, and if you would like to pray, just raise your hand and they will come to you. I'm praying, and I'm going to quote or talk in Revelation. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And the four living creatures did not cease saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thee will they exist and were created." So again, Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you would just come upon us, Father, in a mighty way, that you would just infiltrate us, and that we would see the face of God in a way that we have never, ever known him. And as we pray, for Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would do the voice to God as our Father and our God, that you would express to him in words that we cannot express in our limited mindset, that you would let him know that where our heart's at, and that how much we adore him. So God, as we do come to you in this time, that I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are God. I thank you that, Lord, that you are God of holiness and righteousness and justice, Lord. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, that you are worthy to be praised, and you are holier than holy. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, it's because of your love that we have eternal life. And I thank you that you are love. I thank you, Lord, that, Father, that you are your grace and love and mercy. And that is who you are. And I thank you. For me, Lord, most of all, I thank you that you are peace. I thank you that you are bigger than life, that you are just an amazing God. You're awesome. That, Lord, that as we give you praise today, that, Lord, that you would just be glorified. And, Father, that you would just be more to us today than what we've ever been. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, that you are God who thunders, the God you are, you're loving. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that on nights that when you can go out and peer into the heavens, that, Lord, that your awesomeness is there, that I look, and as I look at the expansion, I know that, Lord, that even though it seems so immense, that I know there's a God that's behind that, that holds everything in his hands, and I thank you for that.
Dear Father, I just thank you so much that you love me even though I'm weak and you know I'm frail, but you draw me to yourself anyway, and with your gentleness you build us all up, you make us stronger, and you let us see more of who you are. And Father, I can't even imagine why you chose me, but you did, and I thank you for that.
Lord, I love you so much. I love that you are the only God, the only one true God that deserves any of our worship and our praise. Nothing on this world or anywhere around us deserves that praise. I just love that you are the one true God.
You are, and Lord, I just thank you for when I feel alone and empty, Lord, that you're there. Your presence is always obvious. Lord, it's like the nice warm sunshine on a very clear, cold day. Lord, your radiance not only warms my skin, but heats the bones within my body. And Father, I just thank you for your presence, how you work through the Spirit. Lord, you are an awesome God. And Lord, I just I love you, and again, I thank you for your presence in my life.
God, you are an awesome God. God, you are bigger than anything. You have everything in your control, in your hand, Lord. You hold us in the palm of your hands. You hold Sio in the palm of your hands. Lord, you're stronger. You see everything. You know everything. There's nothing, Lord, that we can hide. You are truly just awesome.
Father God, I thank you again for this time, and Lord, I do thank you for who you are, and that you are a God, you are a God of that is awesome, that you are a God who is amazing, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of peace and hope, and that God, you are a redeemer. In Christ's name, amen.
You can stay seated or you can stand up. It's a kind of your call. You know, instead of singing, if you want to just sit and contemplate, that's fine too. I won't take it personally.
Is there any forgiveness for the things I've done? Is there pardon for sinners? I know that I'm one before you. Before you. Would you take this heart of foulness and make it clean again? Would you pour on me your mercy as I confess my sin before you? Before you. Point my feet in the way they should go. Spirit in me, lead me in the way everlasting. I long to have a heart that's pure before you. Take this heart of foulness and make it clean again. Would you pour on me your mercy as I confess my sin before you? Before you. Point my feet in the way they should go. Place your Holy Spirit in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. I long to have a heart that's pure before you.
We're going to go into a time of confession. I think one of the biggest mistakes we can make in our lives is to think that we can handle things by ourselves. And maybe you don't want to burden somebody with it. Maybe you just don't want somebody to know. But I don't see that in Scripture anywhere where it says that we're to do that. Isaiah goes before a holy God and he immediately falls to the ground and woe is me. That same holy God invites us. And in James, he says this. It says, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Well, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I am convinced that if you have sin in your life, God will not work. He holds back. This is an opportunity right now that you might be able to finally be free of it. Am I saying this is a magic prayer time that you're going to confess something, a sin, perhaps that there's sin that you know you've committed and it's something that needs to be forgiven. There's sin that bothers you for your entire life. It's a thorn in the flesh, or it's that habitual thing that you just can't shake. And I am not declaring that today is the day that somehow magically we're going to get rid of that for you. If this is the day that the Lord chooses to take it, then blessed be the name of the Lord. But this is an opportunity for you to finally say, you know what, I'm tired of handling it, especially by myself. He has never called you to handle it by yourself. He's never called you to handle it in secret. It's just not what he ever intended. And so during this time of confession, again, because I do understand, I mean, you hear that word and it can conjure up some pretty big fear. And I'll tell you right now, that fear is not from God. That's the devil wanting to remind you who you are. It's not the Holy Spirit telling you who I made you. And so in the time of confession, there's going to be three different things that are happening or can be happening. The worship team's going to be doing a song. It's not necessarily one for you to participate in, but to just simply listen. I guess the easiest way to say it, there's three, in a sense, exercises that you can participate here. The first one is that in the pews, there should be somewhere there should be some 3x5 cards. Should look something like that. Different colors, but like that. And if you want, maybe the first step is finally just saying, you know what, I want to lay it down. And so sometimes we just kind of need that tangible way of doing something to be that first step. And I want to make sure I emphasize this is only a first step. But perhaps you would write down that sin. Already there's some of you who have shut off. Oh, no, 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 I didn't say put your name on it. God knows your handwriting. Write down that sin. Be truthful. Write it down. And there's an opportunity. What I would invite you to do while the song is playing, and we're not going to drag this out. You write that down. God's already got it on you. You put it on your heart. He's trying to take it off of it. And bring it to the cross. And actually, I'm just saying, throw it down. Lay it at the foot of the cross, just there. I to reassure you, these will be collected and destroyed, just as God will do to the faithful servant. Take the sin and destroy. But they will not be read. They will not be looked at. But we would invite you that you would be able to do that. And that, like I said, that's a first step. That's just saying, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you, and I'm going to put this at your feet. I'm going to put it at the place that you paid for it before it even existed. You understand that, right? That all of these sins have already been paid for. It's not about asking God to pay for them. He already did that. It's collecting on that now. So laying that down at the cross, that's a step. That's one thing. The other thing I'm going to have here in a moment is I'm going to have the deacons who are the shepherds of the church. I'm going to have them come forward when the song starts, and I'm just going to have them sit in the front pew. If you need somebody to pray, you're ready to confess to somebody. And they have no power to take that sin away. They only have power to encourage you to take it to the Lord. They are no more holy than anyone. James goes on to say that. He says, you know, Elijah was a holy guy. We have a great intercessor in the Spirit. We have a great mediator in the Son to take these things to the Father. But these men would like to embrace you, encourage you, and to pray with you. Because the thing is if it doesn't come out of your mouth, you're never going to deal with it. So this is an opportunity for encouragement. There is, I believe, no healing without encouragement. And if the Lord has laid it on your heart, that you are saying, no, this is something much bigger, that it's not about just simply trying to have somebody encourage me through these, but you really are ready to confess before the church, the body of Christ, that opportunity would be there as well. And in that case, what I would ask that you would do is that either you go to one of the deacons or come to me, that we might talk, we might pray very briefly, and to prepare ourselves to do that. And that I'm not saying anybody has to. You don't. In fact, this whole entire moment here, maybe it's just simply you're just going to sit in the pew and you're going to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, reveal in me what's of me and not of you. And maybe that's where you're going to be. But we want you to have the opportunity. The only warning I would give you is that if the Holy Spirit is speaking, do not ignore him. I know too many that have done that. That's where the enemy laughs. So I'm going to pray. As I pray, if the deacons will come and take the seats up here, and we'll begin. So. Father God, we do come to you in the name of your Son, and Father, we ask that the Father, that you would hear the confessions, the Father, that the great mediator that is, the great high priest that is your Son, might take these before the throne room, Lord. That Father, that as those who are here, that believe, that have put their faith in you, that they might trust that you are just as capable of taking these sins. That Father, that this price has been a price that was paid more than 2,000 years ago on that cross. That Father, that as you sent your Son, Father, as you sent your Son to his death, you had these things on your mind. That Father, that your grace is abundant, your peace is abundant, your joy is abundant. But Father, so much of our sin keeps us from it. Father, allow your people to take this time to truly set it at your cross, that their burden might be lifted. And Father, I would pray the power of your Spirit would set the captive free. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
I'm so sick of this. It's getting much harder to breathe. If silence is death, it's a death I've preferred to the price that I'd pay in breaking the siege. I can hide in the shrubbery. The darkness is freedom and death, but the illusion is brief, and this moribund heart It harks to the day when I last drew a breath, which brings us to now. I've had a moment of clarity. Is there a way out of this trench, this foxhole of shame? Can I find my way into the light? So let in the light, open the door, drag out the skeletons, count all the bones. With nothing to hide, there's nothing to lose, and none to accuse me. Open the door, let in the light, let all the dross be consumed in the fire. To know and be known, to love and be loved, and let it consume me. Just an imposter, the man that you know is a lie. Look in the glass as I put on the mask, the face of a stranger can assure you I'm fine, but it's no way to live alone in my entropy. Is there still
if there's anything I can say right now is that sometimes we wait for these moments and we're like, okay, I'll deal with it when that moment happens. And sometimes the moments don't happen. And I want you to understand that, you know, if today there was, you know, you weren't prepared, and who would be, and there's hesitancy and all of those kind of things. The enemy has held you back. You're just not ready. The opportunity to pray with one another is always there. It needs to always be there to pray, whether it's with these men or with whom you're sitting next to, but that it's always there. And the scripture mandates it. The scripture says that we're to go to one another. And I want to implore you to do that, to at any time. I mean, it has been shared, I don't think it's any secret that the men, we meet once a week, and if maybe it's a Monday night that you just say, but you know what, if it's Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning, call me. Call one of these guys. Don't stop doing it alone. I think I've shared this story. I'm not gonna break out into a sermon or anything. I just felt the Lord laying it on my heart to say it. But I think I've shared this story before. But sometimes courage and really confession, there's a lot of courage that goes behind that. It's courage, it's belief that there is a God, and this God cares enough to hear these things that he might desire that. And sometimes courage comes from bold places, and sometimes courage comes from the meek, quiet voice. And as the youth shared at Winter Youth about Winter Youth Celebration, some amazing things do take place at Winter Youth. There's just something about that environment that allows that to happen. It doesn't only happen there. It happens at Tadmore, but it happens in the back of cars too. And suddenly somebody has to pull over and talk about Jesus. But at Winter Youth one year, the topic was sin. The topic in particular was pornography. And the fact that it's just an unfortunate thing that the statistics within Christian circles are no different than the statistics in secular circles. We are no more immune. If anything, perhaps we're more susceptible, because it's just the way the enemy likes to attack. But after one such meeting, we gathered together, and we had this large group of kids in this room, and there was a very, this big circle. Again, I'm pretty sure I've shared the story. But I always open up with, so what do you guys think? Anybody want to say? It was heavy. I mean, everybody's coming down. Nobody's talking. I mean, and when you have, several hundred high school students walking down a hallway, all looking at their shoes, it's a quiet moment. And we got in that room, and everybody had a little bit of awkwardness. We just got done talking about pornography. Didn't know we could use that word. And one boy, freshman, straight across from me, raised his hand and called on. I said, yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen next. I definitely didn't expect what happened next. So I've got a problem with porn. I've got a problem with masturbation. What do you do with that? That's confession. That's believing in a God that loves us so much and believing in a group of people that would not look at him. And some did. Some didn't know what to do with it. It was awkward. But he felt safe enough at that moment. And I wouldn't even say it's just because he was safe. He knew the Spirit said, this is how we're going to beat this. This is how you're going to know that I already paid for this through the Son. And that he is no more filthy or unrighteous because of these things, because God has declared him, God has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is confession. And so I would just encourage you. You don't do it alone. Don't keep it to yourself. There is no secret. He already knows. You're not going to surprise God. He will surprise you. So I'm going to pray, but we're going to go into some time of thanksgiving. This is somber. This is stilling. Thanksgiving is yet once again an opportunity to praise. Praise a living God. Praise a God that loves you so much that the sin in your life does not stop him from loving you. You understand that, right? There is forgiveness that is needed. That is the gospel. But he loves you. Isaiah is the one who says that all our righteous acts are filthy rags. This is the same man who stood before a living God and said, woe is me. And that picture of the filthy rags, I mean, perhaps you've heard the picture there, but I just see it. I always see it when I think of it. But if you've had children, there's been that moment where you have picked up the child and the child has, shall we say, filthy rags. There is a great odor. Do you cast that child away? Do you say, no, I can't handle that smell? Or do you embrace that child and say, let's go clean that up? That's our Father. That's our Father. And so we're going to go in a time of thanksgiving. This is a time of praise. This is a time of great, great joy. A joy to know that this is our God. And in front here, there is the communion elements. And I would come to you and say that at any time, and again, a little bit of awkwardness, I mean any time, middle of a song, middle of somebody else praying, I don't care. You feel like, Lord, this is the time. You celebrate communion. You come and you get that. You do that. Maybe you wait till after service, but it's here because this is us saying, yes, Lord, you love me so much. Yes, Lord, I'm committed to you and to what that means. And so that's here. That's your opportunity. But we're going to go into a time of thanksgiving. I'm going to pray. Worship team's got a song for us, and then another one of the men are going to come and lead us. Father God, we do come to you in the name of your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our cries, you hear our confession, and that, Father, that you receive it. And you take the sin from us and separate it as far as the east is from the west. That, Father, you do not look at us as filthy rags, but, Lord, your righteousness. That, Lord, that our iniquity, our sin, our stuff has all been traded for your righteousness that you have given, that you call, that you declare. Let us be thankful and let us live in lives such as this, that we know this to be true. Father, as we come to you in a time of thanksgiving, I do pray, Lord, that you would just allow us to dig deep within our souls to know how thankful we are. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross, and I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling, and I'm forever grateful to you. And I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. And I'm forever grateful for the cross. And I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
Am I on?
I'm on. Well, this is a time of thanksgiving, letting God know that we thank Him for what He's done for us. I think anytime anybody's ever asked me, you know, what are you thankful for? My mind goes blank. It's like, I know He's got me here. I'm here because of Him. But I just forget to even thank Him for that. And I thank God for all of you. I thank for those people that have affected my life, that's put me where I am, alive in Christ, which I would not have for if it wasn't for my family and friends and people I know. And I thank God for all of them. I thank God for my family. I thank God that they know Christ, that I'll see them for all eternity. I thank those men that are here that I'm accountable to, that keep me accountable, that work hard to keep me on the straight and narrow, although I wander. And that's why I love them so, because they are always there for me. And God put them right there in the places they needed to be to help me with that. So I'm just going to ask everybody or anybody that wants to share what they're thankful for, no matter how small you think it might be, it's still something God has done. And if not for Him and sending His Son, sending the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be here to even thank Him for that. So I just pray that there are people here that can share in a way that will bless the rest of us. Lord, I just thank You for all You do. I thank You for being the one and only God, that there is no confusion about who we're praying to, who we're talking to, and who it is that works in our lives. And I just pray that You would continue to do so, that You would just fill people with that Holy Spirit that just gives them the strength to move forward, the wonderment of how things even happen in this world, and the way things are built up from the horrible things we think we are in to the what good can really come from that. And Lord, I just can't say enough about what You've done in my life, and I just will thank You, and I'll praise You, especially when I'm before You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody?
I just want to thank the Lord for my wife. And for marriages, Dixie and I have been married for going on 35 years. And without Dixie in my life, without a godly woman in our lives, as you've spoke, Russ, we wander. And I just thank You for the strength through all of our wives. And I especially thank God for Dixie and all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us as a married couple for 35 years.
Guess I want to thank God for kids. I mean, my own especially. I mean, I think I'm required to be thankful for them, but I mean, and I am. But just, I don't know, children in general. I mean, I teach, and I just, you know, Jesus had a special heart for kids. You know, I just, I'm thankful that kids exist, and I love the way they approach things. You know, the way they've just been made to love unconditionally. It just comes so easily for them, and I'm thankful to God that I get to live a life where there's kids there.
I'm just thankful that He called me to His family, that He walks with me, and I just just so grateful. And for this family, church family, it's just awesome. And for my family that keeps growing. And I just feel so blessed and grateful.
Lord, I'd like to start off with, I want to say on confession end that back in March of 1957 was the first biggest and best confession I ever made when I asked you, Lord, to be my Lord and Savior. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Had never really known what it was to say them words. Had a whole different, separate life up until that time, and you moved into my life, Lord, and I've been so thankful ever since. Has it all been easy? No. Have I done it right? No. But I truly give you all the praise, Lord, for everything that I have done to honor you. And where I've fell short, I've asked you, Lord, to forgive me of many, many times in the areas that I have fell short. And I will continue, I'm sure, to do that. And I'm not proud of when I do fall short, but I know, Lord, that you are a God that hears and knows. You give me eternal life. You ask me to be part of your eternal life with you. And I just praise you for that, Lord, and can never stop praising you. Thank you.
I am thankful for my back surgery healing my pain, and I'm very thankful that Mark and I both have healthy parents that are still alive and doing well. And for my three healthy children.
I'm thankful for family because sometimes they're there for you and sometimes they're not.
I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God and that he hears our prayers and he does answer. And last week we asked for a prayer for Aaron, our grandson. He did get the job. He's been working all week. And sometimes God says, wait a while. And sometimes he says, no. And this time it was on the spot. And so we've been rejoicing all week that he's a working man. And we're thankful for that. And I'm thankful for our church family that we have a family that really does care about each other and embraces each other and supports each other. And I'm very, very thankful for that. And I am so thankful that God never stops gracing us every day of our lives. He's so faithful, and I'm thankful.
I'm thankful for many things, but the one thing today is especially important. We prayed for my daughter after she had her surgery. She has been granted a full release to go back to work tomorrow. And I just have to praise God for that because she's been through a lot with the three surgeries on her brain. And she's healing and she's back to normal. I praise God for that. Another thing is we've all prayed for the Reeds in Mexico. When they asked us to pray for rain, they had it within 2 days. And now we're praying for more so that they can get their water supply back to where it needs to be. But God is answering our prayers, and that's an awful thing to be happy about and thankful.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to have to prayer this out. We've got more to do. Lord, I just thank you for those that are here today, and I thank you for, well, I also thank you for my job that I am employed. That is something that's hard to come by these days, and I'm thankful for those that are getting jobs in this time. Lord, I just thank you again for who you are and the awesome God you are, and I just pray that you will bless everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah, we're going to do the offering now. Could the men come forward? And I think I'm one of those. Yeah, while this is going on.
Be still. I get the easy part, supplication. How many times do we go to God without thanks, but because we're in trouble, or because we have a hurt, or because we don't have anyone that is healthy, or we have someone that is terribly sick? But God tells us we can come to Him for all of these things. You know, as we look in James, He tells us we have not because we ask not. I sit and I listen to the times that we went through adoration, that we went through confession, that we went through thanksgiving. Here's a body of believers right here that I'm thankful to be a part of, to be considered a part of this family of God. I'm thankful for this group of people that stand up here in front of us that lead us in worship every Sunday. You know, but I also am thankful that God has given us the gift of prayer to come to Him to ask for help. And I'm just going to open it up this morning and ask anyone, as we have every Sunday morning, this is the time to ask the body for help. So does anyone have a prayer request out there this morning that they would like to hear?
Dear Lord, it's been brought to my attention that Alita was taken to the hospital last night with an infection, Lord, and I pray that You would just be with her and her family, Lord, as they work through this. I pray that You would just give the doctors wisdom as they know how to treat her, and that her body would respond well to this. Thank this. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Anyone else?
I too wanted to stand up and during the thankful time, and I had a million things that I was thankful for, but one of the things I'm thankful for the most is my kids. And right now, Connor's at home with his mom because he's had ongoing problems. Thursday, we took him to the doctor. He has had to have surgery, and so it's good because it's an answer to prayer. Because I prayed, as Tom has millions of times, you know, that the doctors would have wisdom. And when the doctor looked at him, she knew what it was. I mean, immediately. So that was awesome. But he had the surgery, and now he's at home trying to recover. It's going to be a while, but it's the beginning of his recovery, I believe. So we just ask for prayer for him.
And I'm going to ask this morning, is there anyone out there that really wants to pray for Connor? Has God put Connor on someone's heart?
Heavenly Father, with the life You've given me, I know the road for recovery can be a rough one. I know it's full of discomfort, and I ask that You reach into this young man's life and smooth the process for him. Remove as much of the discomfort as You can, speed the process along, and as in all things, Lord, let there be glory for You found in this process. Let the darkness of the need for the surgery or the need for recovery, let it point to Your light. Thank You for the Stoltz family, Lord, and their presence here and the many gifts they bring. And Lord, I ask You, bless them even more than they've blessed us. In Your Son's name, amen.
Jack. For those that don't know, my dad, Tuesday night, went into the hospital with severe health challenges. Ended up at 7 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning, being admitted for a diastolic heart failure. The relationship with my dad and my family has been strained for years. Just about to the point of destruction. And as I was headed up there to the hospital Wednesday, or whichever day it was, I don't know, it all runs together, but through the poking and prodding of my wife, I just kept saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. It's yours. I can't fix it. I don't really even want to go. But I give this to you. And during the couple hours that I was there, I was able to talk to my dad, pray with him, and there's been a start of a healing there. A lot of the pain of the past, there's at least a crack in the shell. And I thank God for being a God of second chances, 70 times 7, and just ask that he would have his way in my dad's life as well as in the health situation that's going on. But even more so, I hold up the relationships that not only with my family, but throughout the whole family, all sides that are strained there. And I know God will take care of it. I have no doubt. But I just ask that his will would be done. Amen.
Thank you, Harp.
I just wanted to put it out there, working with the kids in the church and a lot of the kids that we have that come that don't come to the church on Sunday mornings, we have a lot of kids with a lot of